The external world, the 3D, is explicitly there to challenge you. And that is, and here we come to the question, what is life? Life is the physical expression of the spirit wanting to experience expansion in that heart density. This immovable point is the one that is the I am, that truly is you. That is the true self. Everything that is movable, that is finite, that is coming, that is going, is not you.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Welcome to today's episode, where we dive into the true essence of life. Together with Bersaorin, we will explore insights and practices that help us move beyond daily struggles, uncovering a way of being that's filled with peace, joy, and authentic connection. Join us as we step beyond the noise and embrace life with grace, love, and awareness. Welcome, Ber. Happy to have you here. I was observing life itself. For me, it's a great university. Challenges, events, all these play stories, struggles. And I was pondering upon the definition or trying to answer for myself, what is life?
Well, what is life is a very, very, very big question. And I would say, let's take it in small steps. First, what commonly people understand of what life is. Very simply said, it's the span between the day I'm born until the day I'm dying. And this is how most of humanity perceives what the definition of life is. And everything in between is an experience in some way. No matter most of the people do not see this as an experience. Most of the people perceive life not as a joyful experience, but rather than a service to something, meaning work. Talk about work life. You have, first you grow up, you have education, you have kindergarten, then you have education, then you have your work life, then if you make it, you are able to retire for a few years, and then that was life.
I think there is a, okay, now that you talk about the lifespan, but this is the lifespan of the body, right? On the physical body.
This is the definition that commonly people give to the idea of life. Now, when we raise such a tremendous, important question of what is life, we need to first ask the question, who am I? If the who am I is not understood and is not defined, The question of what life is will always remain to a simple gathering of experiences that have literally no importance. Referring again to work, referring again to a life in a slavery. Slavery to a system that unconsciously I create myself.
Many people are saying that life is a gift. I mean, all the time, through therapy, through conversations with spiritual, but a lot of people cannot perceive it as a gift.
Okay, life is not a gift. Why life is not a gift? Because a gift opposes a giver. Who is the giver of that gift? And here, from a non-dualistic perspective, very clearly, there is no giver that allows me to make the experience of life. So, in that sense, it's not a gift. In the romantic sense of receiving something, experiencing through a gift something beautiful, yes, of course, in that sense, life is a gift. But gift comes from giving. And there is no force that gives, in that sense, life other than the one mind itself, which is the oneness of all that there is. There is the saying that everyone gets to die, but only very little people get to live. That might sound funny in the first moment. However, if you reflect on that, there is a deeper meaning of it. Truly, everyone knows about death. Everyone knows, okay, I'm born, and at a certain age, I, and here we come later to the definition, who am I, but I, the body, is going to die. And then is the big question, what happens afterwards? And if I perceive that span in between the birth of the body and the death of the body, as you defined it before, as just an existence that is struggling and fighting for a survival, and that's what 99% of humanity is doing, living in a survival mode. And when I say this, very clearly, I don't mean only people who have little resources, little income, little money. No, billionaires are in a survival mode, just they don't know.
Can you give an example?
They are in an emotional survival mode of never having enough of these superficial experiences. And the biggest superficial experiences is money. So there is a constant searching and a constant gathering more and more of these superficial experiences. See, we have to understand that the external world can not give us any kind of tranquility, calmness. The external world, the 3D, is explicitly there to challenge you. To challenge you, and that is, and here we come to the question, what is life? Life is the physical expression of the spirit wanting to experience expansion in that heart density. And hence, with this, it is obvious that this heart density can only give you challenges. While the calmness, the peace, and the tranquility is not to be found in the outside, it's something that you can only find within. You can never be peaceful or tranquil or in ease because you have gathered a lot of money, or because you have so many super cool friends. Because the money might go, you cannot cling on it. The friends, they will eventually die. And you might be alone without these friends. So if you put all your eggs into that basket, you will very soon realize that this world is finite. And if I cling to finite things,
and external things,
and these are the external things, I lose these things. And then I'm here again in my struggle. Now I've loved this person so much, and I went 20 years in my life next to this person whatsoever. Now the person is not there. My life is now finished. Finished and lonesome. And we have to understand that this infinite point that never changes, that infinite point is the point that we need to focus on to completely stay and align with that point of source. Because this is the only point that is also able, once we realign with this, to give us tranquility through the tense and hard earth walk. The earth walk with hardship and the earth walk with a lot of challenges. Now, this said, this doesn't mean that the earth walk itself is something bad or is something where I can only have challenges. No, absolutely not. It always depends what kind of approach I have towards this earth walk. Do I take myself very serious? Do I take the earth walk very serious? Do I take all my doings very serious? I will have a lot of challenges and I will have a lot of struggles. Do I see the things with ease? Do I perceive life as a big play? Because that's what it literally is. And am I able to play that play? I will take the challenges, but the challenges will come. I will observe the challenges. I will move on and the challenges will move on. So this is very important how I perceive, and that's hence this expression, the earth walk, my walking on this earth, and what I identify with. If I identify with being the body, being the stories, being that construct, again, challenges will be a lot. Sorrow, hardship will be a lot. Do I perceive the being as an expression of this infinite source? Meaning, that thing that is immovable and is the observer of all that is happening. Because believing that I am this body, that I am these stories, in the nature of itself, the question needs to arise in the cognition, but who actually observes all this if I identify myself as this body? There must be something else, other and higher than the body, that is able to ask these questions. And this immovable point is the one that is the I am, that truly is you. That is the true self. Everything that is movable, that is finite, that is coming, that is going, is not you. Nothing. And hence, coming back to the question, what is life? Life is nothing else as the definition of my consciousness in the experience of a physical manifestation. That is life. And however a human being is able to consciously perceive from the different states of consciousness, we have been talking in another episode about the me and I consciousness, about the next step, which would be an ethnocentric consciousness, about the next step, which would be a planetary consciousness, to a next step that would be a cosmic consciousness. From whatever lens the human being is able to perceive this, that how life is unfolding.
You mentioned now about how to identify yourself with different challenges, who is the observer, and generally can sound as a complex construct definition because there are many aspects of it. And how do you set the scene in order to make it beautiful and really, anyway, I also feel that has to do with the purpose. Like, how do you see, what is the goal that you set for yourself to live this life, right? The life can only be very neutral as an experience, or then others are coming, as you say, from that perspective where the goal is to make a family, to make kids, to make money, to make career, to make, and very, very different other reasons, right? So, with all of these ideas, concepts, how do we set the scene to enhance and to have a beautiful experience out of it?
Well, how to set the scene? As I just explained before, it always has to do a little bit with your predisposition, with the predisposition of the solic aggregate and with the predisposition of the blueprint of that soul aggregate. And it depends a little bit in what state of consciousness you are coming. The solic aggregate is coming into the earthly realms. And from that perspective, it defines the first step and the path of your life. I don't say it's completely predefined, all steps, but one step is done after the other, and each step that I did before defines the next step. Meaning, if I perceive the life as gaining experiences, meaning also work is an experience, and this whole thing is something that is very difficult to talk about, but from an absolute perspective, that entire idea of humans that are working in whatever, it doesn't matter what, is nothing else than a slavery. And again, a slavery that humans with their free will agree to, literally. So to go to work on a Monday morning, no matter what work you do, no matter how much you are paid, is unnatural. It's not in the original human blueprint. It's a distortion of the human mind. And hence, as I said the steps before, if you make a few steps, in the wrong direction, you will continue going on in the wrong direction. And there were a few steps in the wrong direction, and so humanity is carrying on in the wrong direction. The whole idea of consumerism, the whole idea of consuming, is a complete distortion of human life. It's not natural to human life to gather a lot of things. And people might say, well, yeah, but you know what you are saying is very idealistic and away from the way that we live now. And my answer to that will be, I don't care. I can only share what is the natural blueprint of humanity, and not which wrong direction humanity embarked. And now we are embarked in this wrong direction, and let's see how we can correct a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. No, it's not done by that. You cannot, okay, we have polluted our planet and now slowly we start to clean up here, but under here we put it still under the rug. That doesn't work. It needs a perceptual shift and hence a rising of consciousness in each and every human being to come back and to reconnect to its original blueprint. And everything that has happened on this planet is a misguidance and a misleading away from the original human blueprint. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Every school system, and it doesn't matter which one, the most beautiful green school in the world has nothing to do with what you have as a knowing within you. And what you see nowadays is popping up like mushrooms, a lot of indigo children. There's a huge new wave coming in. They cannot have any school system, no matter what it is, because every school system is doing one thing, leading people away from their own knowing. Animals, for example, know exactly which plants to eat. Nobody told them in a school, you can eat this plant and you cannot eat this plant. Where does that come from? It comes from the blueprint of creation. And the moment I have a wonderful green school and say, wow, this is the best I can, green school, I say as generally schools around the world that think that they have a better approach to education. But what are they doing? They are telling children, okay, this is that plant and this plant is growing and this is healthy to eat and this is not healthy to eat, and they do all kind of still education. So they are overwriting again, they are putting things into the human brain, and the moment the things are stored here, there is a big, big bottleneck that this can be set free. And hence, it is very important to understand, to come back to what I said, everything that has to do with education, everything that has to do with education, whether it's university, whether it's school, whether it's books, whether it's religions, it doesn't matter what, the human does not need. Everything is known. Everything is known. All the human needs is, as a baby, as a child, the physical care in this environment, from loving parents, from a loving family, to feed the little baby, to bring it up. But the baby must not be told when it's 6 years old that 1 + 1 = 2. That B comes after A, followed by C. Is all complete nonsense. And why I say it's complete nonsense? Because language is nonsense. It's complete nonsense. Language is only misleading. There are very little languages on the planet. Very little, and also they have been distorted. that are not misleading. But all big languages, whether it is English, whether it is Spanish, whether it is German, whether it is Russian, it does not matter, whether it is modern Chinese, are spell languages. It's full of spells. And so, in that sense, negative affirmations that people speak all day long. And so we need to come back as humanity to an extremely simple life in order to bring the most of intelligence out of the cognition of a human being. So exactly by not following intelligent education systems that have only one task, only one goal, is to put the human being in a box so all of the human beings are the same slaves. And then we had religions coming up, and what did religions do? They create adversity. So they create, here we have this religion and here we have this religion, wonderful. So we have already a potential how we can disagree and eventually fight. If you look all the struggles, the big struggles of the world, the big wars of the world, the big genocides of the world have been happening only for one reason. It was always the belief of a religion. When the Christians went to North and South America and killed tens, if not hundreds of millions of Native American people, the original peoples of the First Nation peoples, under what pretext did they do that? Only under the religious pretext that these are heathen and they need to be killed. That's the only reason. And then look around in the world, Africa, the whole colonization of Africa was always a religious pretext. And when I say a pretext, that doesn't mean that the people who ordered these wars, that it was their pretext. They had other agendas. But why the masses of people and why the masses of soldiers followed, why the masses of, let's say, invaders to the American continent followed, and I call them invaders, the white Europeans who invaded the American continent, was always under the religious pretext. Because what happened, for example, if you just go a little bit into that story, what is life and human life on Earth, the whole Americas, the whole continent has been thriving, has been absolutely thriving as long as the Native American people, as long as the First Nation people were living amongst them. The people that were led by written religions, only these people had war in the world. So what happened practically? Instead of creating an ambience of peace and harmony in Europe, all these people wanted just to flee because they thought they will find something better. So they were in such a primitive consciousness that they completely forgot that they have a huge, each one of them has a huge backpack and they cannot run away from nothing. So instead of creating in their homelands an ambience of peace, what did they do? They went to a place that had an ambience of peace. They thought they are going there then to live in peace. And what did they do? They created war again. And over and over and over. So it doesn't matter where you go, and that's also a confirmation, you cannot run away from nothing because you have your own backpack and you have your own war and your own war story and your karma with you, and you cannot run away from it. And coming back to the question, what I said before, all of a sudden all these religions were created. And this religion started to write, each one started to write different books. And then they gained millions of followers or billions of followers around these books. And making people believe that as long as they live after these books and stay calm and do all the things that these books say and their preachers say, everything is good. Religions have only one purpose. And that only purpose is that you will not have a united humanity. That's the only purpose of a religion. And when I mean religion, I mean all of the religions. And the teachings of Buddha, the original teachings of Buddha, have very little to do what the Buddhism of today is. The teachings of Yeshua, the Christ, have absolutely nothing to do of what the Christian church of today is. Absolutely nothing. They have been living over 2,000 years exactly the opposite, pretending to sell a teaching that they in their organization were never living. Never. Never. And so the question, what is life, again, to come back, life is always, what I said before, the expression and the experience of the lens of the consciousness that the individual being on this earth walk is able to perceive. We realize through that, knowing this, we realize that at the moment humanity has a lot of individuals on this planet who have a very low perception in consciousness, given all the struggles humanity is running through. And hence there is a huge time of shift now, and that's the turmoil that the world is running through at this very moment. That's why there is so much going on. Many people perceive that that there is only bad things going on. We have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of manipulations going on, a lot of manipulations that lead to devastating results at the moment on Earth. We had these things going on all the time, not maybe in these measures, but all the time. However, back then, nobody really was aware about it. And now, the number of humans that are aware about these manipulative forces is growing. Yet humanity has not understood that it's the individual being that with one shift can change all of that. That will come. That will come. But it will still take a few generations for that to come. Now we observe, let's for a moment call it the problem. We are aware there is a problem. The next step will be to understand how to get rid of the problem, how to change that problem. Humanity is not yet there. There is a certain percentage, a small percentage of humanity that is there already. It needs to gain more traction that to happen. And however, nothing of it is bad or good. It's just evolution. Of course, the human has this innate spark and source of this KDIUCL, the cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love that through manipulation has left only the last letter L, meaning love, that then was heavily misinterpreted of what love really is. The simple affection from one being to the other was all of a sudden named love, or was given the name love. And again, you can discuss and you can have a philosophical discussion about it, which words to take for what. The point that I'm making here is the affection that one human being has for another human being, but not for the third human being, is not love. That's all the point I want to make. Is not the KDIUCL. And as every human, human has this spark. And why do I use the word human? Man is the manifestation. It's the physical manifestation. And hue is the light. And when the spirit decided to go on this experience of having a manifestation. When the light decided to have the physical experience, it was in the Trinity of the three lights, of the three light bodies manifesting in the physical body, and hence the human, meaning, as I always say jokingly, the light was very bright. A lot of light in that manifestation. Now, the humans that roam the planet are humans. So the light is dimmed down very, very, very much. And humanity is slowly remembering, re from again, and membering from becoming member. So humanity is slowly becoming a member again of that what is the human. And why did I say before that in every human being there is always this spark of the KDIUCL, even if it's dimmed down very much? We all want to be good. We all want to do good. The utmost for a human being is to be in harmony and not have conflict, not have stress with other beings. This is the human being. Then the human being, through outer influences, and I call them outer influences, is pushed to do something unnatural for the Homo erectus, and that is creating conflict. Conflict is not something that the Homo erectus has in its blueprint. Hence why people react aggressively, why people are completely out of sync. Now, what is the point from a non-dualistic perspective of it to take? It is the free will question, and it is the free will. There might be an outer influence from something. However, it's my free will to agree to it and to follow it. It's my free will. And even that I might say, well, but I'm forced to do it. No. Force and then doing something is only a consequence of fear. And fear is also a complete distortion of the original human. It's completely unnatural to a human to even understand fear as a concept, let alone what that notion is. The original human in its blueprint is living in such a undistorted, reciprocal, I cannot use the word connection, because connection opposes that there is something here and that is connected. And that's wrong. In a reciprocal way, with the one mind, with all that there is, being that reflection of it, that any notion of what the modern human has of, oh, something can happen, oh, if I don't do this, I get punished, is not in existence. And hence, as this notion is not even in existence, this concept doesn't exist in reality, let alone the manifestation or the materialization of such a threat. So, a long story short, a lot of distortion away from the blueprint, caused by free will, caused by running all day long, not being able to reflect, not being able to sit back to breathe, caused by these doings all day long, caused by all kind of desires that I have in life. I have so many desires in life. I want this and this and this and this. Whether it's 10 desires, whether it's 5 desires, whether it's 1, I want to achieve something. I want to get something. I want to become someone. All of that, be aware that all of that is just a distortion and a huge deviation of the thriving that the human is capable of within the physical manifestation. Yeah, and you were asking me also about the purpose. You said, what is the purpose for people of life? And this is one of the very big misconceptions that humans have. Some people are in their work environment for 20, 30 years and then they are not happy anymore. And then they sit back and say, well, what is my purpose actually in life? And then they become a painter. I have seen that. And then they perceive that this was the purpose of life, that now the purpose of life is painting. So the understanding here that needs to be, there is no purpose to life. That is the most important thing. There is no purpose to life. Life itself is the purpose. Okay, so there is no purpose to life or in life, but life itself is the purpose of the expression of the spirit in the 3D, as I explained it before. And hence, when we understand that there is no purpose in life, we also need to understand that being a painter, being a famous musician, being a rock star, being an entrepreneur, being whatever, somebody who sells ice cream, is not a purpose in life. And the purpose doesn't get more purpose because now I changed from a cooperative job into an artistic job, meaning becoming a singer or a painter. That's just a change, but it's not any expression that defines a purpose. Yes, it is an expression of that human being. Yes, it is an experience. But the purpose of life is only to be in full awareness of all creation and the expansion of creation from a standpoint of an immovable self. That is the only purpose of life.
I think you already answered my question, but I will still ask you. Mention now that we are coming here as a light being and we have an innate knowing already. So then why kids between, I don't know, a couple of months don't feel that is not good to put the hand in the fire, or good to, why they need to be told these things and hence programs that certain things are good? And
well, first of all, there is something as also a distortion in the human DNA. Okay, so the distortion in the human DNA is also creating some cognitive disbalances. Okay? So putting the hands into fire is something that obviously hurts. And there is this saying, once you put your hand one time into the fire, you will not do it again. Now the question here is again, did the human have fire?
That was also something that I was pondering about.
No is the answer. No is the answer. The human did not need something, fire in the external, heat in the external, food in the external, language in the external. The human was living a human experience in the physical body, completely in 100% harmony to nature. It was not cold, it was not hot, there was no hunger, there was no nothing. It was just the pure awareness, sitting and observing the beauty of all that there is growing. Sitting, observing the flowers, the trees, the plants, in a complete meditative state.
Like a yogi.
Like a yogi. And to come to your question, this little baby, this little child has, and I mean that word positive, that naivety of the human. And hence it's putting into the fire because it does not, what does a baby and a child not have? There is no notion of fear. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And hence these actions, because it's not there. The notion is not there. That something hostile can happen to me if I touch this, if I take this, if I speak this, if I do this. And that actually shows how far the distortion of humanity is when you look how babies would behave and how humans behave. When the babies are very close to a life, let's say small children are very close to the life of the original blueprint. And growing up, the system, mainly the family, mainly the parents, are integrating this completely wonderful flower that needs to flourish and grow in the middle of a free meadow. What the parents are doing is taking that little flower and planting it in a greenhouse on a growing bed with all the other 8 billion flowers in one row. And there is no way anymore for that flower to jump off that growing bed until a certain age. And then it might happen that the flower gets an awakening and says, oh, I'm here in a growing bed. And you look down and you see, wow, outside of that greenhouse, there is the nature. Not only am I on a growing bed, but I'm also in a greenhouse. How do I get out there?
And then the journey begins.
And then the journey begins, exactly.
So, how would you define a simple life? How can humanity start small steps to go back to a simple life and get rid of all this neediness? That's what I call these desires, neediness for a lot of achievements, being material or not.
Well, I can only answer it from the experience of the earth walk of this bear, of this being, and how this experience and this shift was from that lens. This being was in the very same system and growing and position as billions of people on the planet, wanting to become successful as a businessman, wanting to grow a company, eventually had a big company, a lot of employees, car, house, family, all these kind of things. And there comes the point where you question things. And the question then is, do you only question things or do you also follow your questions? And for this being, I can say it followed the questions. Meaning, if I just look let's say 30 years back, today, on what I carry on me, what I possess, how much resource I need per month to live. Going back 25, 30 years, it's a speck of it. I mean, it's such a little speck of, let's say, if it was so big one stage, today is literally like this. Is this being on the earth walk more happy, more tranquil, and more relaxed? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Compared to the growing phase of that being, and that accumulating phase of that being, and the struggles that came with it. The more you have, the more you need to work, the more you need to work, the more you get stressed, the less time you have for your family, the more friction you create in your family, and so on, and so on, and so on. The whole story. To come to a point where you realize that very little is needed to really sip abundantly on the nectar of life. What is important to understand is that every human being can change everything in 1 second. It's only the decision to do it and not being fearful, if I change my life, I will lose friends, I will lose family, I will have fight with the system, with the government, with whatever. You change your life, the whole world changes. And that's really important to know. So if you go on a path of the blueprint of the original human, you will see how the world around you is changing exactly to that path. You don't need to wait for something to happen in your life. There will be nothing that can change life for you. It is completely an illusion to believe that a savior, a spiritual a deity will come to the world, a change of a government, whatever will change your life. The only way to change your life is by you making a very clear, distinctive decision that from now on you don't live like this anymore. And then all you need to do is lean back, breathe, and for example, very practical, if you say the life that I've lived so far, I'm not happy with it, I'm stressed in my corporation, in the company where I'm working, whatever. Take a time out and be by yourself. Don't read spiritual books. Don't listen to gurus whatsoever. Just be by yourself, best in nature, and be in this pure awareness. Just sit there and observe. And you will be positively shocked what is coming out of you. Everything is coming out of you. Everything that you need to know for a happy and peaceful and playful earth walk. It will just come through you because it is there. And all you did so far in your life is you were just hindering through all the doings and all the stress that you have, all this innate knowing to come through you.
Do people need to be in a certain stage, capacity to be able to be by themselves alone in nature? Because many of us are just running away from...
Absolutely, you need to be in a certain stage, but the stage is very simple. You need to have the predisposition to say, yes, I'm doing it. That's all. Yes, I'm doing it. It is so simple. It is so simple. In the blueprint of your soulic aggregate is written everything that the universe contains, all the knowing and all the knowledge of the universe. and you are this universe. That means you don't need to have any influence from the outside, because everything that influences you from the outside, every knowledge that you put, is not coming in here. It's only coming into here. And when this is full, there is no space for this to open. And hence it is so important. Just take time. If you don't like your life, stop your work that you are doing and just be for a few weeks by yourself in a reflection and try not to have this chatter. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Oh my God, I don't have enough money if I'm doing this. Try to let go of this. Let it come here and let it go out there. Just stay in observing in pure awareness. Observe nature. This is the best. And through that, slowly, slowly, that remembering, that becoming member again with your original blueprint is taking place completely by itself.
How do you recognize that you have or not the predisposition? How do you know? I assume that everyone has this predisposition, right?
When I said predisposition, of course everyone has that predisposition, as I just explained, everyone has it in the blueprint. The predisposition, what I mean is only to come to the to that it dawns on you, it's now time
to change.
To change. That's all. That's the predisposition. And then to go for that solitude. That's very important. Solitude is the biggest gate opener. For a certain moment, take some solitude. Even if you are married, even if you have children, speak with your family and take 4 weeks by yourself somewhere in nature. And it will change life for you.
Thank you, Bear. It was very beautiful. Thank you for the pointers, the advice, and hopefully a lot that are listening to this are following, not necessarily your advice, but also their own questions to life, and transform this into the meadow that you are speaking about. Appreciate.
Very welcome.
Remember, life's challenges often hold deeper insights. By staying mindful and compassionate, we transform our inner world and in turn our outer world. Keep connecting to your original blueprint and let it remind you of life's immense grandness.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.